Introduction. Exploration of the early American West, beginning with Lewis and Clark's transcontinental trek at the behest of President Thomas Jefferson, was not accomplished by standing armies, the era's new steam train technology, or by way of land grabs. These came later, but not until pathways known only to a few of the land's indigenous people were discovered, carved out, and charted in an area stretching from the eastern Rocky Mountains to the Pacific Ocean and the present-day borders of Mexico and Canada. Even the great survey parties, such as Colonel William Powell's exploration of the Colorado River, came decades later. The first views of the West's enormity by white Americans were seen by individuals of an entirely different personality in an era that could only exist apart from its home civilization. In the span of scarcely more than half a century, the West developed from a handful of scattered fur-trapping enterprises, predominantly inhabited by males, to a region full of burgeoning rustic communities, and before the government's official closure of the frontier as a lawless expanse, Western societies were essentially living apart from the traditional American rule of law. What judicial structures were at work across the West were erratic, often willing to exercise extremes without evidential justification and manipulated by major corporate interests of the day, most notably cattle. As this suggests, despite the fact westward expansion is more often than not characterized as a conflict with nature and indigenous cultures, inherent danger existed as frontiersmen, family homesteaders, entrepreneurs, and cattle giants fought for a share in the new frontier life. At times, those in search of wealth, whether from a gold rush, an iconic technology, or from the acquisition of land and livestock, went beyond the decimation of the indigenous peoples. That portion of the frontier offered to the more modestly endowed settlers by federal legislation emerged as an economic irritant to bigger companies and the elite. In some economic quarters, they exerted an extreme effort to sabotage the prevailing structure and remove lower classes from the government's promise. Where older America depended on the slave culture to sustain its rural existence, cattlemen serving Atlantic appetites for meat forged empires of unthinkable dimensions in the West. With a weak system of law enforcement and unlimited availability of federal acreage open for public use, cattle barons granted themselves land rights and legal authority without limit. Once in control, they dared anyone to correct them, individual or institutional, and in light of their commercial contribution to the markets back east, there was little chance of government reprisals against their usurpation. Ultimately, major cattle interests inevitably collided with a parallel migration of settlers seeking small plots of land and modest holdings in cattle, sheep, and seasonal farming. This was not a problem the wealthy observed at a distance, but the claim of a lesser segment of society made against them for rule over America's new ground. The age of the cattle boom was, lamentably for industrials, coveting the vast tracts of the West, and also the founding of a new Pacific-oriented population. Once the Whitman family reached the Walla Walla Valley in search of a Protestant mission, securing a foothold in the most distant and alien territory, the Oregon Trail swelled with travelers intent on doing the same. In the process, Narcissa Whitman dispelled the myth that women lacked the sturdiness for such a journey. Her example opened the West for a new generation to be born, not merely imported. Settlers were drawn as well by the allure of cultural independence available in the undeveloped country. Many who believed their existence back east to be pedestrian and unworkable developed a firm resolve to follow the call to personal freedom offered by land ownership and self-reliance. For the racially and economically disadvantaged, whose southern dreams were dashed by the Civil War and the horrendous aftermath, a settler could reign as his own monarch on his own property